Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the Training 2015 Conference and Expo.
All right, we are back and bringing it home from the show floor of Training 2015. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with, this is the wrap segment, Lee. This
the
is
headliner.
The, yeah, this is the guy. He's Manager Learning and Development for Par Excel. Please join me in welcoming to the program Mr. Tom Costello. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Can you tell us a little bit about what Par Excel does?
Yeah, Par Excel International. Obviously, in our name, you can tell we're a global company. And pharmaceutical companies hire us to conduct clinical trials for pharmaceuticals that they're trying to bring to market.
So now, as Manager of Learning and Development, who's the constituency?
The main that we service the entire company, but the departments that we help out the most, mm-hmm. and those are the folks who are actually going out and conducting these clinical trials and monitoring these clinical trials, and they're called clinical research associates.
All right, so you guys, you have accomplished something this year that you haven't accomplished before.
We did.
Yeah, tell us about it.
We made the Training Magazine's top 125, yeah. And it was the very first time our company has ever applied for it, and we got unhappy about that.
So you're undefeated.
We're undefeated.
You're one for one.
Yeah,
now what
exactly.
Number were you?
We were 104. Now, we wanted to crack 100, but, statistics, and 8 of the 125 were on the list before, and 27 were newcomers, and we beat out 20 of those new 27, so.
That's a great attitude, Tom.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
You sure you don't teach statistics?
I don't teach statistics.
That was very nicely done.
Yeah.
All right, so as you look back, as you reflect on the year, what are some things that you're really proud of, things that you think really did cause you guys to have such a good year?
Well, we really focus on working closely and aligning our training with the business. We have we'd call it a unique role. It's called a training business partner. And these
nice.
Training business partners, what they do is they're assigned to different business units within our company. And what they do is they meet with these business leaders from these business units, and they find out what their goals are for the year. And what we do is they'll talk to them about what their training requests are, and they're making sure that their training requests align to what those goals are for the business. So that, and then those requests come into us, and then we're prioritizing them based on the alignment with those goals and how important those goals are. So we're making sure that our training has an impact with the business.
So the metrics, what kind of metrics are you setting up, and how did you decide?
We have a monthly scorecard that goes out to that our vice president, Albert Hsu, sends out to his management team within HR, and then it also goes out to the business. But the metrics that we use obviously the level one, which is the evaluations that people complete right after they take the course to get that immediate feedback.
So like a smiley face or a frowny face?
Yeah, we call it the smile sheets. But we also, obviously, we're with these business partners, we're also setting up some business metrics too. One of the great things about applying for the top 125 was the biggest part of that application is the business impact that you're having. So
that's where most of the weight is given to the application is on
absolutely.
Business impact. Well, I mean, I think that's rightly so, don't you think?
It
yeah.
should be. It
okay.
should be, absolutely. So going through that exercise, we saw that there were some gaps on some of the trainings that we weren't, we'd have to kind of search for what the impact was on the business. But so now we're starting to look at, what is that end result you're looking for? Look when you're starting out the training with the end in sight. So that's what we're doing now, and we're setting up better business metrics for all our trainings that go out. So I think, between the training business partner and setting up those metrics early on within the training process, we should really, hopefully next year, have even, a bigger impact than we had this year.
So now what kind of classes are you doing? Is it mostly instructor-led? Or are you using self-learning or mobile? What do you guys
We do a combination of we do a lot of e-learning, but we also do a considerable amount of instructor-led training. It really depends on the need. Again, we're a global company, so
you don't want to be flying everywhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have instructors, and as you know, it's very expensive to have an instructor-led training. So we have to kind of look for blended solutions a lot, where we're maximizing the time in the classroom. What I mean by maximizing the time in the classroom is taking e-learning and things that that people should know, just the general informational type training ahead of time, and then using the classroom time to really focus on the context and the application in that. So you're maximizing the instructor-led time.
So you mentioned, I believe a moment ago, Albert Hsu. That's the gentleman with the suspenders, right? Isn't that his trademark?
It is his look.
I mean, he's also a pretty sharp guy, knows a thing or two about learning and development.
Absolutely.
But his trademark is the suspenders. I just want to give him a little bit of a shout out, because I thoroughly enjoyed talking with him up in Boston a few months ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So talk to me about his role under his guidance, under his leadership. You guys, that was kind of the framework for setting up some of these metrics that you described?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Albert's the one who developed this monthly scorecard, and this is really what we're reporting out on each month, both internally and to the businesses
but you brought the whole thing home. I mean, you're the one, right?
Oh, on the top 125?
Yeah, that's you. That's all you, right?
Yeah, it all started, I got an email, and it was, you know, the application came out. I think the application comes out in May of last year.
And the application isn't for the faint of heart, right?
No, it's not. You got to really want this thing, right?
Yeah, and I kind of, you know, I didn't do my due diligence and look at the application before I raised my hand and said, hey, you know, this is a really good idea to apply for the top 125. And so everyone said, hey, this is a great idea. We're doing a lot of great work here. And they said, we are. And they, Tom, would you like to run the project? And I said, absolutely. And then I got into the application and I said, oh, my God, what did I sign myself up for? So it was a huge, huge, you know, it's very detailed, the application. And when you haven't done it before, you know, I think we're planning on applying next year, but now we kind of have a process in place.
Right. Yeah, you've already gone through the learning curve.
Yeah, the learning curve. There was a stiff learning curve, but we managed to get around that. And you know, the bottom line is we made the list, and we beat out 20 of the
exactly.
of those
That's
other.
Right. Don't forget that.
Yes, 27 newcomers, and we beat 20 of them. So.
I love the way that you're able to frame up properly the stats, because that's important to know. So talk to me a little bit about the way that you involve your managers in reinforcing the learning, because we all know if we don't, the managers are going to untrain them quicker than we can train them.
Yeah, we actually have a program, and this is one that we highlighted on the application, where it's called Site Manager Basic Training, and I think it's now we updated
it's
now
it.
So it's
now
SMT1, which is Site Manager Training.
I thought it
part
was the
one.
Costello
the
Academy.
The Costello Method.
No, it's not the Costello.
That's what they
method.
Call it in the field.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We can call it that. I did design it, so.
See, there you go.
But what we do is we do involve the managers, and this is something that, you know, I think is probably unique to our organization, where the managers actually take part in the training, not so much to facilitate it, but they're there as a coach. So we have people who are facilitating the training, but the managers, we have at least one manager there. This is our onboarding training for these clinical research associates, and the program Site Manager Training 1 is the onboarding program. Mm-hmm. And these managers are actually, we have like simulations and exercises that they're going through during the training, and these managers, and we put coaches in parentheses, they're giving them instant feedback. They're sending reports to them. They're reviewing them, and it gives us a chance to kind of assess the learners right from the start. And what happens is that information then gets passed to their actual manager, if they're not reporting to that individual, during the training, and then when they go and they are officially getting on board after the training, if there's any areas that they're struggling in, that manager knows that right away, and they can start to work with them as they onboard them going forward.
Now, do you find that these coaches, the people you kind of put as coaches initially, do they stay as coaches, or do you realize after doing this a little bit, you go, you know what, maybe this person's better suited to be the coach?
Well, obviously they have their day jobs too.
Right.
So this is their moonlighting job. So what we do is these coaches, there's actually a little onboarding training for them as well for this coach role. There's some coach training, and there's a rotation. So they rotate because obviously they have their regular jobs too, and they can't be going to a one-week training every single time. So there's a rotation of these coaches. And, you know, they're getting feedback as well and from other the facilitator and other people who are involved in the program. So, you know, if it's not working out, then maybe they'll bring in a new coach or something like that. But it's a rotation. So it's probably like once every 6 weeks or something like that that one of these managers will take on the coaching role.
So before we wrap, I want to hear a little bit about your experience with mobile learning. What are you doing? How's it working? And what do you see coming down the pike?
Yeah, mobile is something last year we had a big project because our biggest thing with mobile was we really didn't have a secure server, so we were able to create the mobile content, but we didn't have a secure way of providing that content when we push it out to the learners. So what we did was we had a big project last year which was called Mobile Ready, getting our processes in place, determining what type of content that we want to put out as mobile content. So we got all of that in place now, and now we're working on getting that secure server this year. So one
so
of our
now
goals,
it's IT's problem, right?
Yeah, we're going with IT.
But no, they're
going to
measure twice and cut once. I mean, really, that which has not been the approach for a lot of companies. They're like, oh, mobile, let's jump on that.
Yeah, let's jump on. So right. We have everything lined up to go mobile. Now we just need the server to do that, and so we're in the evaluation phase right now, and this is something that we're looking to do. Hopefully, if not the end of we're on a fiscal year, so our fiscal year ends the end of June. So if not this fiscal year, definitely by next fiscal year, we'll be pushing out a lot more mobile content, and we see it as not so much as training, but performance support. After they have the training, people can, you know, these short little support. That, you know, they maybe just a little micro learning or a snippet from the learning or job aid, something that supports them in the time of need when they're out on
right, and
in,
it's
in
on
the real
demand,
world.
Right? Like when they
on
need
demand,
it.
Absolutely.
And
on
that's
demand.
What they're used to anyway in real life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best, and that's the way most people learn is really on the job, you know. And so any reinforcement we can provide them after the training, the better.
So well, I know that you flew to town so that you could take part in all of these media appearances. But since you
yeah,
were here.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't, you know, we have a lot of snow in Boston, and no matter what, you know, they were de-icing the plane. I wanted to make sure I made the radio interview.
Wanted to be on the
radio. I didn't want to stand you guys up. So
we appreciate that. But while you were here, what else did you get accomplished? I know you were honored. You got your radio interview, but did you get a
chance
to catch
up with
some friends?
I've been attending the conference. Absolutely. You know, I've attended a lot of the breakout sessions, and I've done a lot of sessions that
Albert,
have gone performance consulting and things like that. So, yeah, I think I picked up some best practices I can bring back to my team and share.
Oh, I was going to suggest you go to the CNN store and pick up Albert a pair of CNN suspenders.
Do they have CNN suspenders? I don't know.
They probably have some Larry King suspenders.
Some Larry King.
Oh, Larry King. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. He doesn't work for CNN anymore.
No, they probably have it in the retro section.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good.
Well, Tom, thanks for making the time to hang out with us. Man, it's been fun to catch up.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. That is a wrap for Business Radio X, Training Pros, and Training 2015 Conference and Expo. We'll see you next time.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.